Okay, I want to know, the story of Joseph is, many of us have learned it as kids, right? Maybe your mom, your dad, at your bedtime, tell you a story, and most likely it's going to be Moses, right? Jonah, and Joseph is definitely one of them. Who has heard the story of Joseph as a kid? Okay, 5 years old, 4 years old, 3 years old. We think that we're coming to Poland to talk about a kindergarten story, right? We already heard this. We already heard this in kindergarten. But the part that we're going to touch this morning has absolutely nothing to do with a kindergarten story. This is the reigning aspect of a mature life. And in fact, for all of us, me included, this is regarding our future. This is regarding our future. And I enjoy Brother Paul and Brother Daniel both said we are kings in training, right? We're kings in training. We love the fact that we're kings. We don't like the fact that we're in training. So, just an example. If the brothers say, "Don't use the bathroom during a message," all of a sudden I gotta pee. All of a sudden I didn't have to pee before, now I have to, because he said it. Right? It's hard to be in training, because we all like to reign. In our concept, the reigning part is, actually in our concept, the reigning is like, is really exaltation. Joseph was exalted to the throne, right? And he became second in command to Pharaoh. And no one can lift a hand or lower it without his say-so. That is more like our concept of reigning. And maybe it's, okay, I'll be realistic. I don't think I'm ever going to be a real king like that. But you know, when I say Jesus Christ is Lord at school, and I expect the entire school to say, "Oh yeah, oh I repent." And then there's a party over there those are the opposers. They're the opposers. They laugh at me. They say, "Here comes the master of dreams," right? I say, "No, Jesus Christ is Lord." And everybody agrees with me. And they say, "Shame, shame on you. Shame on you who say master of dreams. He is right." Right? This is, do you think that? Be honest, right? we all have that feeling that reigning in life means everybody listens to me. Like a great example is Greta Thunberg. She says something as, how old was she when she started? Yeah. And then everybody's like, "Whoa, you're right. Come to the United Nations. Talk to us. Talk to us at the United Nations. Wow, wow, you have such wisdom. We really got to listen to her." In the back of our head, we're thinking, man, she's reigning in life. No. Actually, let's come back to review real quick what the dream is. When we say we're living in the dream, we don't mean sitting in the corner and singing, "I'm dreaming for another life. I'm dreaming of another life. A life better than this." The entire world is dreaming that. The entire world is. Like if you watch your favorite talent show, and then the contestant come up to the stage, and then the judges say, "What's the dream? What's the dream? Oh, $1 million, or or uh, I'd be I'd be able to perform on the biggest stage. Or who plays football? Who plays football? What's the dream? What's the dream, brother? Huh? Oh, to become a football player. Get a bigger contract than Lionel Messi, right? That's the dream. Oh, I'm living in the dream, brothers. That's not the dream we're talking about. The dream that we're talking about is a heavenly controlling vision. Made clear to us by the Word of God and unveiled to us in our spirit by the Lord Himself. And so today, this morning, we are confident. We are confident that we are children of God and we are God-men. We are men and we have God in us. That is a dream. And I am still in the dream, saints. I am still in the dream. Brothers and sisters, I was in this kind of seats with you. Really? I was a kid growing up in the church life. And I met many companions. I met Paul, right? I met Daniel. I met Tim. When we were younger, we met many others. We are still in the dream. Saints, in the next 30, 40 years of your life, in the next 30, 40 years of your life, I'm saying that it's very hard for a 14-year-old to contemplate 30, 40, 50 years. But we need to consider what is our path. What is our path? We wish, really, today, after this week, listening to a wonderful message about Joseph and his enthronement, that next week we'll go back to our locality and we'll share something, and the saints would really appreciate it and say, Wow, brother, you really should reign in life. Let's enthrone you. Let's exalt you, right? But actually, we go back to our life and we find out in our family, there is a prison. And in our school, there is a prison. And on the street, there is a prison. And we may get discouraged. We may get discouraged. Nobody likes to hear that the road to the throne is down. But what we're going to talk about this morning has very much to do with what Joseph gained in those years in imprisonment and confinement. And so we're in page 48 in the English outline, message 5. Joseph's life is a revelation of the rulership of the Spirit. Amen. Saints, if I get tongue-tied, sometimes I'm not very used to speaking in English anymore. Let's all read Roman numeral 1 together. The record of Joseph's life is a revelation of the rulership of the Spirit. The rulership of the Spirit. And we sing the song, reigning in life. What's next? Being ruled by the Spirit. It doesn't say reigning in life, ruling by the Spirit. To reign in life is to be inwardly ruled by the Spirit. And what's next? Restricted. Nathan, you know that song well. Restricted. What's next? Limited. That doesn't sound like reigning in life. Reigning in life means to be ruled by the Spirit and restricted and limited. You know, when Joseph was exalted, you know, we came to Joseph. Joseph interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Pharaoh exalted him. He says, the Spirit of God is in him. And then he took off his ring. He took off his ring, Pharaoh's ring, put it on Joseph. And he put a robe on Joseph. And he put a gold chain on him. And say, you are now going to ride on the chariot of my second in command. I don't know what his second in command said. He's like, well, there goes my chariot. and then he says,
I am Pharaoh, yet without your consent, no man will lift up his hand or his foot, and in all the land of Egypt.
What do you think Joseph did next? Gotta celebrate a little bit, right? Ah.
Let's check what he said. Without your consent, no man will lift up his hand or his foot in all the land of Egypt.
Okay, let's try this. Raise your hand. Now lower. Up, low, up, low. I can get used to this. This is good, right? I can get used to it. Maybe he'll go around and party over here. Here comes Joseph. Oh, the man of the hour, right? Come over here. Oh, no. Sorry. I gotta go. Another party over there. What did he do next? He went to work. Did you know that? As soon as he was uplifted, he went to work. The life that Joseph lived after his enthronement is something that I can't live. I can't see my own self living that. What the life that we see that Joseph lived after his enthronement is a life under the rulership of the Spirit. He didn't get excited. He didn't record that he started crying. Oh, these years. Oh, it's finally worth it. No. He realized this is now my commission. This is now my commission, and this is my ministry. My ministry is to make sure that in the next 7 years, we have enough grain. Before the famine comes, there's not a minute to waste. It says he went all over Egypt. He started looking at the situation. He started planning. He started getting ready. He started opening the storehouse and getting the people. And then think about it. He really missed his father and his brothers. We could just take a 2-week vacation. Just 2 weeks. You just head up to the land of Canaan. Just visit his father's land. Come back. There's no problem. But Joseph became a person who was under the rulership of the Spirit. And I say this. He became a person. He was already very, very, very good person with a strong character. From his childhood, he had a strong character. But you know, the rulership of the Spirit is not something that one can acquire overnight. Joseph acquired it also himself. And let's keep reading. A, the rulership of the Spirit, a life of reigning in life and being under the restriction and limitation of the divine life in the reality of God's kingdom
is higher than any other aspect of the Spirit.
There's many, many aspects of the Spirit. When we were regenerated from the Spirit. We were born of the Spirit, right? When we are convicted, the Spirit convicts us. We say, oh Lord, I'm sorry. That's very positive. We have the inspiration of the Spirit. The Lord inspires us and we speak, right? And then we have the infilling of the Spirit. We have the anointing of the Spirit. We have the power of the Spirit. And we have the Spirit of life. We even have being built up into a dwelling place of God in Spirit. But the rulership of the Spirit is the highest aspect of the Spirit. Why do I say this? You know, when we say, Lord Jesus, I love you. Can we all say, Lord Jesus, I love you? Lord Jesus, I love you. Again.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
What's the first word we say when we say, Lord Jesus, I love you?
Lord.
Say it again.
Lord.
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 Lord. He is the Lord Jesus. When we say King Jesus, we understand a little better. But when we say Lord Jesus, something of the Lord comes into us. And He would like to be Lord in our spirit. And so, Paul, at the end of his life, when he was writing to his co-worker Timothy, he says, the Lord be with your spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with your spirit. We really like to enjoy the Lord as many things. We like to enjoy Him as forgiveness, as life supply. I'm depressed. Lord, I need you as encouragement. But the Lord would really like us to enjoy Him as the Lord. And so Paul in 2 Corinthians, he says, now the Lord is the Spirit.
Amen.
And wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord is the Spirit. And He is the Spirit of the Lord. When we turn our heart to Him, He will transform us and infuse us and make us into the same image as He is, as the Lord Spirit. The Lord Spirit. And we can even say the primary way, you know, based on the word this morning, the primary way that He would train us to experience and enjoy and recognize Him as the Lord Spirit in our spirit is through sufferings. It's through the various confinement and imprisonments. And, you know, when Joseph was in prison, we think, oh, you know, he just says, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, God is God, and I just have full confidence. He needed to be trained. After he talked to the cupbearer about his dream, he said, can you do me a favor? He actually said this. Do me a favor, please. Do me a favor. When you are restored to Pharaoh, please tell him why I'm here. And I'm here because I was kidnapped. I was kidnapped. And then I was thrown in prison for something I didn't do. What he is saying is, please, please tell Pharaoh, please put in a good word with Pharaoh for me. Okay? And maybe that will get me out of prison. Another words, In other words, he did not realize the rulership of the Spirit. In other words, he didn't recognize that he was in confinement by the Lord. He did not realize that the Lord sent him to Egypt. He didn't realize that the Lord put him into Pharaoh's jail. He didn't realize that God put him next to the cupbearer the baker. That's right, the Mundschenk, right? In German. He didn't realize. He was very faithful, and he was being trained. I'm so impressed when he was in prison, the Lord was with him. And the reason I'm impressed is it says he was put into prison, and Jehovah was with him in prison. And then if he was there, if I was there, I would have said, Lord, if you were with me, why am I in prison? Has anyone ever told the Lord that? If you were with me, why am I in prison? Why am I here? You are with me a little too late. I'm not Joseph, and so I can't speak for him, but maybe he has this type of transaction with the Lord. Lord, I don't know why I'm here. I don't doubt my dreams, but I don't know why I'm here. Right? And in many of our situations, we have family situation. Maybe there's tension in our family, right? Maybe I have a terrible relationship with my brother. Maybe my friends hate me. Maybe I'm bullied in school. Sometimes maybe even online. Lord, why am I here? But it says Jehovah was with him in prison. And when the cupbearer and the baker came to him, he wasn't in a corner dreaming of another life. He was ministering. And it says the chief jailer, he's like, oh, you know, this, he's like, I'll put you in the person in charge. Here's Joseph. Joseph is the person in charge. He took the cupbearer and the baker to him. And it says, Joseph ministered to them. Saints, if we're really in the dream, even when we're in prison, we are ministering. Amen. Joseph was ministering. Amen. But still, when the cupbearer left prison, Joseph really kind of want to help God a little bit. You know, I know I don't belong here. Lord, you told me that, but I don't know what you're doing, but maybe I'll just, is that okay if I just say this? Just this one thing, just do me a favor. Maybe just to save us a few years. But actually, God was faithful. So after the cupbearer left, he forgot. Joseph was a real person. Oh, I'm so sorry. The time already left. Okay. There's a real burden that we wouldn't drop out. Saints, the burden here is that we all need to learn obedience through suffering. Do we know that the Lord himself learned obedience through suffering? Let me read something to you. In Hebrews, it says, Hebrews 5:8, even though he was a son, this is the Lord Jesus, learned obedience from the things which he suffered. The rulership of the Spirit means our obedience to the Spirit. Joseph learned obedience also in prison. He learned to obey God's timing. And This is something that's hard for us as young people. And then we were back in our locality, and the brothers did something, and I'm like, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. The elders, the serving ones, they said something, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that. And in 1 Peter, there is a word to the young people. In like manner, this is 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. In like manner, young men, be subject to elders, and all of you gird yourselves with humility toward one another, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore be humbled under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. This doesn't equate, oh, try to be humble and don't try to brag. No, it means in our respective prison, we learn to be humble. We learn to say, Lord, amen. Amen for where you put me. Because you know why? The reason Joseph was under the rulership of the Spirit after his enthronement was because after his enthronement, he realized, I am here because of God. When Pharaoh talked to me, he says, I heard you can interpret dreams. Joseph said, it is not of me. Wow, here's a man who has no confidence in himself. He realized it's God. And this is something that we all have to learn. And you may say, Lord, I learned it, okay? Can we just skip the prison part? No, but the Lord would like us to learn it by our experience. So otherwise, when we see the saints or ones who previously offended us in the past, and now we are in the position of reigning, what are we going to do? Now is my chance. The brothers came, and then they bowed down to him, and then Joseph says, it says, Joseph remembered his dreams. And then he says, did he say, wow, this is great. Did I not tell you? Did I not tell you this was going to happen? Let's sing. Reigning in life. Reigning in life. Right? Because I'm reigning. Right? I said, just like my dream. He said nothing. He said absolutely nothing. Except he dealt with his brothers in a wise way. Wow. The more we read this story, the more we realize how much training we need. I have so many stories that I was going to tell, but I don't have time to tell them anymore. I would just tell one story. And this is a story of a failure. And this just tells you that I am also still in training. This is about a few years ago in a Winter School of Truth. I wrote half a song, you know, in the Winter School of Truth. And the young people really liked the song. And then we sang it for everybody. And everybody liked it. And let's sing it at the end. Oh, I was so happy. And I couldn't stop smiling. My mouth was stuck like this. And inwardly, the Lord is asking me, stop smiling. Stop smiling. Why are you smiling? And I said, Lord, I don't know. I can't stop smiling. I don't know how to stop smiling. Why? Because my emotion was not under the rulership of the Spirit. But here is someone who was enthroned, who was exalted, and his entire being was under the rulership of the Spirit. Saints, treasure the time we have and don't drop out. And then Brother Paul will continue. Amen.
Amen. So let's continue reading the outline. So I'll read point B there, a gold chain, which signifies the Spirit given for obedience, was put around Joseph's neck. Our will, signified by our neck, must be conquered, subdued, and chained by the Holy Spirit. Point two, after our stiff neck has been softened and subdued, others will see on our neck the beauty of the Holy Spirit for obedience expressed in our submission. Yeah. When somebody is under the rulership of the Spirit, it's very beautiful. Point C, Joseph was not out of control when he saw the fulfillment of his dreams. Rather, he was calm and his excitement was under control because he was a person with the rulership of the Spirit. Point D, when Joseph saw his brothers bowing down to him, he was not hasty to reveal his glory to them. It was not until his brother's third trip that he revealed himself and his glory to them. So as Billy brought us up to the story, Joseph has been enthroned, and now he's worked for 7 years to gather much grain into the barns, and now the famine comes. And I got to tell you, right now on earth, the famine has come. Okay, so the famine comes, and 2 years into it, Reuben and Judah and Benjamin, they're beginning to starve. They need food. You know, you might be a Christian. I know you're a Christian, right? But even Christians need food. Don't go too long without food. So after 2 years of waiting, eventually they go where the food is because they hear in Egypt someone stored up food. All right, so they go. When Joseph saw his brothers bowing down to him, he was not hasty to reveal his glory to them. It was not until his brother's third trip that he revealed himself and his glory to them. So listen to this statement. Joseph got out of prison. Yeah? Joseph got out of prison, but he remained in the prison of the Spirit. He didn't want to get out of prison anymore. He wanted to be 100% controlled and directed by the Spirit of God. Praise the Lord. He got the training. So in point E, he dealt with his brothers soberly, wisely, and with discernment, disciplining them according to their need, in order to perfect them and build them up, that they might be a collective people living together as God's testimony on earth. Joseph put all his brothers, he put his brothers into prison for 3 days. He did this for the purpose of causing them to realize their guilt in hating him and selling him. Joseph was also wise in his discipline of Simeon. Joseph further displayed his wisdom in testing his brothers with respect to Benjamin by singling out Benjamin. Joseph helped his brothers to think about Joseph himself. Right. So I need, I need this row of brothers. This row of brothers, yeah. I think most of you speak German, right? Come on up here, please. So these are Joseph's brothers. Come on up. Come on up. Okay, so it's been 2 years of famine. Here, you stand over here. It's been 2 years. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Okay, good. It's been 2 years of famine. You're very hungry. You need food. So I need a Joseph. You look like Joseph. Come here. Okay. All right. So here's Joseph. Yeah. See, you have to face your brothers. They come to him, and of course, everyone's grown up because it's been many years. You don't recognize him, but do you recognize them? Do you know who they are?
Does Joseph know who these guys are? Were these guys nice to Joseph? No. He recognizes them. So Joseph is now, he's not in for revenge. He has no thought of revenge. He remembers the dream. The dream is that Joseph is a sheaf of wheat. Joseph has become, is becoming food to feed people. And he sees these guys, and he's like, they've got to become food. But they're not ready. Because they have not confessed. They're liars. Murderers, at least in their heart. Are they ready to reign like you? Not even close. Are they ready to be food like you? No. Are they shining stars? No. Because they were horrible. You guys were terrible. You're not ready. Now he's ready. He's doing it. He's reigning. He's providing food. He's a shining star. But they're not yet. So he's under the control of the Spirit. He follows the Lord to lead you to repentance. Okay, so you can all have a seat now. That's God's... So Joseph here, we can replace the name of Joseph with the name of what? Who in the New Testament? Jesus! Yeah. Jesus is a sheaf of wheat. Jesus is the bread of life. Jesus is the living star. But he needs to make all of you the same as he. Okay. I forgot your name. Yeah, come on. Daniel? Okay. Daniel? Okay. Are you a man?
Yeah.
Is God in you?
Yeah.
What are you?
I'm a God man.
You're a God man. That's right. But you're a baby God man. Yeah? I mean, even though you're this tall, you're a baby God man. So you need to grow. So are you shining all the time?
No.
No. Are you providing food to God's people all the time? No. So you need to confess.
Yes.
And you need to come back to the Lord. And you need to let the Lord grow in you until you become just like your big brother, Joseph Jesus. Okay, thank you. Joseph loved his brothers. Point F. Joseph, he loved his brothers. Jesus loves his brothers. Jesus loves you. Yeah. Jesus loves you. Brother Ezra, Jesus loves you. He loves you. How about we all say, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Yeah. He loved his brothers in a secret way, restoring their money, and by affording them sufficient provision for their journey. Joseph had no thought of revenge and only considered what would be good for his undisciplined brothers. Joseph's brothers did not understand his wise dealing with them. They were frightened by his secret love. Joseph was a very sober person. He did not need any more discipline, but his brothers did. Thus, Joseph acted not for himself, but for his brothers. This is our Lord Jesus. Yes. He acts not for himself, but for us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Joseph was a self-denying person. Although he had been enthroned to be the ruler of the earth, he did nothing for himself or for his own enjoyment. Amen. Roman numeral 2. Joseph fully understood that it was the sovereign God, not his brothers, who had brought him to Egypt. Joseph was able to comfort his brothers because he realized that God had sent him to Egypt. Point B, Joseph's life is an illustration of how all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Point 3, we, the kingdom people in the kingdom life, are being trained to be kings, to be Josephs. the reigning aspect of the mature life under the rulership of the Spirit. So just a few comments and then I'll finish, okay? Just a few, God has a purpose. We saw the timeline, right? Eternity past to eternity future. God knows everything that's going to happen. And because of that, He has a plan to make sure that it happens according to His will. God knows that on this earth there's going to be a famine. In fact, right now, in your city, there's a famine. Okay, what do I mean, a famine? A famine means there's no food. You know, are your friends, are they satisfied? Right? Billy, come on up here. Billy, come here. You have friends, right? Yeah? Are your friends just satisfied with God all the time? No. Are some of them miserable? Yeah, some of them sad. Yeah? They need food. Do you know what I mean by food? I'm not talking about physical food, right? What kind of food am I talking about? Jesus food. That's right. Okay, thanks, Billy. That's right. They need Jesus food. Yeah. Oh, did you enjoy eating and drinking this week?
Yes.
Are you enjoying eating and drinking Jesus this week?
Yes.
Don't you wish all your friends could eat and drink Jesus with you this week?
Yes.
Yeah. That's because here in Poland this week, there's food.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We're eating.
Yes.
Yeah. So God knows that there's a famine. God needs some kings who will distribute food in the famine. Where's He going to get the kings? Where's He going to get the kings? From you. So that's why, right, Favor? You've been through a lot of things in your life. Some things good, some things bad. And we might think when the bad things come, what's going on? Young people ask this all the time. If God cares, why are all these bad things happening to me? Joseph may have said that. But eventually, he realized why. It's because, Favor, God needs you to become a king one day to distribute food. Yeah. You're being trained. When you're training for football, anyone here train for football? Yeah? Does your coach just say, oh, don't practice? I'm not going to make you do anything difficult. You're just going to show up on that field and do a hat trick. No. He gives you hard things, difficult things. Is it because He's mean to you? No, it's because He wants you to do well. In the same way, we go through things. God allows us to go through a prison. And even we fail, we do bad things. So, God is training us to confess. To confess. We confess, we come back to the Lord. We confess and we come back to the Lord. Why? Because God wants to make you a king to give the people food. How many of you want to become those who can feed others? Do any of you want to feed others? I want to feed others. How many of you want to become stars of light to shine on people? There's so much darkness out there. So, God has put us here in the training. We're all in the full-time training. Yeah, it's really full-time. It's really full-time. Yeah, we're in the full-time training to be trained as kings to distribute food. So God wants to give food. He needs someone who's under His rulership. What if Joseph had become king? And then he just said, I'm going to just rule however I want. I don't care about others. I'm king now. See, that's not a real king. God needs kings who will give people food. Praise the Lord. So we're gonna teach you now. We're done with the message. We're gonna teach you now how to spend some kingly time with King Jesus. So you have this thing called 7 minutes with the Lord. Right? 7 minutes with the Lord. On page 6 in the English outline. Okay, you have it? All right. Does anyone want to help me demonstrate this? Yeah? Anyone want to help me demonstrate this? You're going to have to lose your face. All right, Luke, you want to help? Okay, come on up here. So this is going to train us. This is a training. This is a training, yeah? Okay, so the first minute, 7 minutes with the Lord. 7 minutes with the
Lord.
Have you ever thought about that? Who's your Lord? Spend time with your Lord. Let Him be your Lord for 7 minutes. Yeah. Spend time, 7 minutes with the
Lord.
Okay, so the first way is we could call on the Lord. If you want someone to come to you, what do you need to do? Call for Him. Luke! Come here, Luke! Okay, right? So we can say, Jesus! Come here, Jesus! Oh, Lord Jesus! Yeah? Okay, so we're calling. Call for half a minute. You know, we're going to teach you this. This is not, you don't have to do this. This is just a training. It's a training. It'll help you, but eventually you'll find your own way of contacting the Lord. But we're just going to get trained together, okay? So how about we call for half a minute, or we'll call a few times. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so we're warming up, but now we need to call deeper. We're not calling to say words. We're calling to contact Jesus. So let's call deeper. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, good. So that's good. So we could do that for half a minute. Now we'll go on to praying for a minute. Now when we pray, Luke, we just open our heart. And you know a good way to open your heart? What's a good way to open your heart? What do you think?
Praying.
Praying. Yeah. And you could say something like, Lord, I open my heart. That's a good prayer. If you want something, ask for it. Lord, I open my heart. Can you all say that? Lord, I open my heart. Lord, I open my heart to you.
Amen.
Lord, soften my heart.
Amen.
Lord, I empty myself. See, that's what it says there. Okay, how about you pray a few prayers just to the Lord?
Lord, I open my heart to you.
Amen.
Lord, I give you my heart today.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen. Okay, very good. Okay, thanks, Luke. That's really good. So that's the first two. So first we called. Now we're praying. We could tell Him we love Him. Isn't that good? Lord Jesus, I love you. And then the next one is number three, prayer reading. Oh, thanks. Thank you. Amen. So pray reading. We can pray read, right? We've learned. We can take the Word of God and eat it. We can take the Word of God. Those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life. Oh, Lord, reign in life. Oh, Lord, today I want to reign in life. I want the Spirit to reign in me. I want to be ruled by the Spirit. Yeah. This is to pray read. Yeah. It's to make the word, make it personal. Make it your personal prayer. And then step four, confession. Yeah. 1 minute of confession. Now, when we say confession, maybe even while the brothers have been speaking this week, something's come to you and you were reminded about what you said to her. That mean thing you said to her. It was terrible. Even you felt bad saying it, but you couldn't say sorry because you were so angry with her. Or something that you looked at that you shouldn't have. Your conscience told you, I shouldn't look there, but I did. Okay? So this might come to you even while a brother's sharing a message. He's not coming to you and saying, you're bad. I know what you did. No, that's the Spirit coming to you. Yeah? So, we confess. We confess. What does it mean to confess? It means to agree with God. Yes, I did it. Just agree. That's to confess. I did it, Lord. I confess. I sinned. Can you say that with me? I confess I sinned. Let's say that together. I confess I sinned. No one likes to say sorry anymore. Or it's just sorry. Sorry. That's not confession. Confession is not saying sorry. Confession is I admit I did it. Lord Jesus, I confess. So you could confess for a minute. Consecration. That is to give yourself to God. Oh, Lord, I give myself to you. Thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. This is one of my favorite things. I do this almost every morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this conference, Lord. Thank you that you live in me, Lord. Thank you that you created me, Lord. Thank you for my family, Lord. Thank you for your word, Lord. And then petition, we can ask the Lord to grow in us and to grow in our friends, to grow in the brother sitting next to us or the sister sitting next to us, as to petition for others. So, 7 minutes with the Lord. Now, let's do it. We'll practice here. Now, this is a little bit hard, a little bit challenging, because you're all sitting in the same place. But we're going to have 7 minutes, and I'm going to time it. And I'm going to say calling. So I want you to just call inwardly. If you want to whisper, that's okay, but not too loud, yeah? Just, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Okay, you're not doing it to impress any of the brothers. You're not doing it to impress your serving ones. That means nothing. Absolutely zero. All that matters is that you touch Jesus. That's why you're doing this, okay? So, Lord Jesus, Lord, okay? And then I'll say, okay, minute two, praying. And you just pray, okay? We're going to train you how to speak alone with your Lord. How to spend 7 minutes alone with your Lord. And then you could practice later today. You could do this alone during the free time or something. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to set my timer. Okay, so you all know what to do first. We'll be calling. Call from deep within. Guys, just you and the Lord. Just enjoy the Lord. Ready, go. Lord Jesus. 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 Very good. Now let's go on to praying for a minute. Open your heart to the Lord. Soften your heart. Empty yourself. Pray quietly to the Lord. Okay, so step three will be pray reading. And we're going to pray read that verse, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You just heard me say it. I think you can memorize it. Just pray over that verse. I'll repeat it a few times. You just pray read it quietly to yourself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Make that your personal prayer. Lord, I want your Word. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now we're on to confession. Confess the sins and offenses on your conscience and remove all the blockages to be able to fellowship with the Lord and with the saints. Ask for forgiveness and ask the Lord to cleanse you with His precious blood. Be very specific. Anything on your conscience, confess it right now to the Lord. Tell the Lord, yes, I did it. Okay, now consecration. Consecrate. Give yourself to the Lord as much as you can. Whatever you can, give yourself to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I give myself to you. I give you the rest of this conference. And now a very enjoyable one. Just thank the Lord. Just thank the Lord for everything. Thank Him for this conference. Thank Him for the brothers, the sisters. Thank Him for the serving ones. Thank Him for the food. Thank Him for this beautiful weather. Just thank the Lord for everything on your heart. Thank the Lord that He's made you a king. Amen. And now for our final minute, petition. Pray for your friends. Pray for your parents. Pray for the ones that you've offended, that maybe you need to apologize to. Pray for them. Bless them. Pray for your friends that need to be saved, that need to become co-kings with you. Pray for ones to grow in the Lord. Pray. Petition. Okay, that was 7 minutes with the Lord. Amen. Did you enjoy that?
Amen. Amen, saints.
Praise the Lord. We'll stop here.